Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Good morning, 38 past the hour. This is Faith Radio. I want to say hi to our friends who are listening in Duluth on Faith 90.5 FM. Thanks for making us part of your morning. And maybe you have tuned in Fargo on Faith 1200. Let us know. Connect with us at myfaithradio.com. What does authentic biblical discipleship look like in a post-Christian world? And how can pastors encourage and equip their congregations in a day when really a lot of believers seem to be conforming to the world rather than serving Christ? Joining us with some thoughts on this is Trevin Wax. He's managing editor of The Gospel Project. That's a gospel-centered small group curriculum published by Lifeway. Trevin holds a PhD in theology from Southeastern Seminary. He's also a former missionary to Romania. Good morning, Trevin, and welcome to Faith Radio.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
You recently wrote an article entitled Discipleship as Equipping Believers to Read the Signs of the Times, which I thought was quite fascinating. What does it mean to read the signs of the times, Trevin?
Well, a lot of people, when they hear that, they might think back to the people in the Old Testament, the sons of Issachar, who were said to have understood the times. And because they understood the times that they lived in, they knew what Israel was to do. It's a reference that gets pulled out occasionally and talks about worldview and the importance of understanding our cultures. And I think about that and reading the signs of the times because we're living in a day in which a lot of Christians wonder, what is it we should be doing? What should be the next steps for us as Christians to take when it comes to our public life, when it comes to family life, when it comes to our careers, our work? And so understanding the times that we live in and being able to read the signs of the time and to be able to interpret them in the light of the story that the Bible tells, that the story that the Bible says is true about our world, that's really essential for understanding who we are as followers of Jesus Christ.
I know you and your friends at the Gospel Coalition are concerned that many Christians today are choosing to follow the culture rather than the teachings of Scripture. What does that look like in the daily life of those believers?
Well, what can happen sometimes, to give one example, we live in a culture in which a lot of people chart the story of their own life based on their accumulation of wealth or status or moving up in their career, for example. So a lot of people will look at the previous year that they've lived and they will ask questions based on, did they get ahead? Did they fall behind? Do they have any financial setbacks? Are they moving forward? Did they get a promotion? They think they chart the story of their life as if the career or as if success or as if financial stability is at the center. That's how a lot of people in our Western society, living the American dream, that's how they think of their life. And yet the Christian should be asking different questions. It's not that questions about career are not important, but they can't be at the center. We should be asking questions about the previous year to say, have we become more like Christ in the previous year? Have we grown in our discipleship? Have we grown in our holiness? It could be that a setback in business is actually what propels us forward in our relationship with Jesus, and it could be that more success in business in one year may actually set us back some in our growth and our discipleship. We have to have an entirely different way of looking at our life, the stories of our life, how we judge success, failure, moving forward, backward, and things like that. And so it's just so easy for us, though, to slip into the patterns and the mindsets of the world and to begin to interpret our own life, to tell our own story in the exact same way that other people in our society tell their own story. And when we do that, we really don't look that different from the people around us.
How does social media feed into this, Trevin?
Well, it becomes very difficult in the social media world to have civil conversations with people, to be able to talk with people people that we might disagree with on certain issues. And a lot of times I see Christians that are more united by their disgust or their outrage over something in the culture than over their desire to win people over to their perspective, to their point of view. And, just recently, the Wall Street Journal did an experiment showing the different timelines on Facebook based on whether you have conservative interests or liberal interests. And it is fascinating to look at the different ways that the timeline will change on your Facebook, your news feed, in order to show you news that the Facebook algorithm thinks you would want to see. And what it actually, social media has done, is that it actually means we go to the internet to get news, not so that we can be informed, but so that we can be affirmed in our own position, affirmed in our own point of view, our own perspective. Christians have to be the kinds of people who can speak more than one language, not necessarily bilingual in a sense of an actual language in the world, but where we can actually speak the language of the people in the culture we're trying to reach, to understand where people are coming from who disagree with us, so that we can winsomely seek to persuade and seek to have civil conversation that brings people along to a different point of view. And as Christians, it's hard in a social media age to do that, because it doesn't happen very often online. But we as Christians have got to try. We've got to be salt and light everywhere, and that includes our social media presence.
I was also thinking, when you were talking before about how we might assess our life status at the end of a given year, so what social media does is it encourages us to talk about the successes that we've had, or our children have had, the places we've gone, the things we've done. You don't often see a Christian on social media talking about how they've really engaged in the spiritual disciplines over the past year, or how they feel they've grown in sanctification because of these particular things, or they're really feeling like they're manifesting the fruits of the Spirit for the first time. I haven't seen a lot of that on Facebook. Have you?
No, and part of that might be because it's not happening, and that's the sad part. But part of that also might be people have a bit of a reticence to talk about their own spiritual growth in a setting like Facebook. They might feel like they're practicing their righteousness in order to be seen by other people. But you're right. In all sorts of other areas, we do sort of practice our righteousness. We're look at how good of parents we are. Look at our kids. There is this sort of self display that happens online in a lot of different areas. Spirituality tends to be one of the ones that we shrink back from. And I'm not sure if that's good or bad. It might be good if it's coming from humility. It might be bad if we're not actually even thinking in terms of our spiritual growth.
That's a really good point. We don't want to be prideful about our spiritual growth. By the same token, to encourage others to say, wow, I found this great Bible study from the Gospel Coalition, or I found this a great way to grow in my faith, and to do it not in a prideful way, but to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ to grow. We're talking to Trevin Wax. Trevin is the managing editor of the Gospel Project at Lifeway Christian Resources. We'll take a quick break and be right back here at Faith Radio.
Pass on some hope. Tell a friend about Faith 90.7 and AM 900.
Good morning. Welcome to a brand new work week, 48 past the hour. This is Faith Radio. It's Bill Meyer with Trevin Wax. Trevin is the managing editor of the Gospel Project, small group curriculum published by Lifeway Christian Resources and part of the Gospel Coalition. And Trevin, I mentioned this article you wrote, Discipleship is Equipping Believers to Read the Signs of the Times. One of the things you mention in this particular piece is several frustrations that you've heard from pastors experiencing some difficulty when trying to lead their flock in this, post-Christian culture. What are you hearing from the pastors that you talk to on a regular basis?
Well, I think pastors are concerned that the influence of the congregation, the influence of Scripture, does not seem to have as strong an effect in the lives of believers as other aspects of our culture, which could come from entertainment, it could come from the people around us, the kinds of books we read, the kinds of shows we watch, things like that. And so, we were talking about social media before. One of the common things that I hear from pastors is that they get surprised and saddened sometimes to be on social media with people in their congregation and suddenly to see, in one Facebook post, they've got a Bible verse, which is wonderful, but the very next Facebook post, they might be talking about a new movie or television show or something that just is something that's most would consider inappropriate for Christians to the kind of entertainment that Christians would consume, and not seem to have any sort of there's no sense that there's any sort of juxtaposition here, that there's any sort of conflict between what we say about Scripture and then what the kinds of entertainment that we consume. So things like that, I think that disconnect between what we affirm about Scripture, what we affirm about the church, what we affirm about the gospel with our lips, but then being evident in our lives that that's not really the controlling factor in our lives and the way we make decisions, the way we process things, the way we work through things in our everyday lives at work and with family and whatnot. That is a continuing level of frustration, I think, for a lot of pastors. They don't know exactly how to bridge that gap between what we say we believe and then what we do.
How much of that do you think is due to pastors kind of pulling their punches in their sermons? I know, pastors don't want to offend. They don't want to, have people leave their congregation. And sometimes when you start talking about things like, radical obedience and discipleship, people get turned off. So it's a tough road for pastors.
It is. And I think it takes a certain measure of both boldness and grace to do that well. And it's difficult. But that really is for all Christians who want to speak the truth in love, we say, or who want to be both bold with the gospel and then gracious to unbelievers that we meet, that we want to be able to share the gospel with. That is a fine line that we as Christians must learn and that pastors seek to abide by as well. I will say, though, that I think the key thing to remember here is relationship. One of the reasons why difficult words sometimes land on us in a ways that might offend our sensibilities is if we're not close enough to our pastors or staff or the people even around us in our church or maybe a life group leader, Sunday school teacher or whatever, that we don't sense the kind of loving care and concern from the pastor on a regular basis. That I think one of the ways that you bridge that gap is by showing empathy, concern, and care in all sorts of areas so that when you do have the hard but true word that needs to be spoken, it's received differently than if it seems to be coming from someone who's distant, not involved, irrelevant to everyday life. And I think that's a good thing for us to remember as Christians, even those who aren't pastors as well, that our words of truth will land differently, will be received differently when we are in relationship with other people, being able to not have to prove that we love people, but that being demonstrated and then those words of truth coming alongside those acts of love.
Mm-hmm. And Proverbs certainly talks about that, and that it's those words of a friend, that they can sting, but they also can help us to grow and to
Absolutely.
Be healed. Now, you recently taught a workshop for pastors through the Gospel Coalition and encouraged them to see some of the worldviews that are competing for the hearts and minds of those in their congregations. Can you share just one or two of the points you made to the pastors?
Yes, the main thrust of that is to say all of us live with a story in mind of how we see the world and world history. And there are three dominant ones that I think that are very prevalent in Western societies, especially here in North America. One of them is the Enlightenment. That is the idea that we lived in something of the Dark Ages up until the 16, 1700s, and the light came on, and through science and technology, we turned a corner, and we're beginning to shed these silly superstitions of the past, these religious things, and that's all going to fade. We're going to wind up living in a very secular world. So that's one of the dominant worldviews in our world, and you see this especially in the academy, in different schools and colleges and universities, where belief in God is seen as something backwards, you know, something that we would relegate to another era. Another one of the worldviews we have to confront in our day is the sexual revolution. And this idea is that in the 1960s, the light came on, so to speak, and we began to shed these silly moral religious rules about sexuality and ethics and things like that. And we're moving into this era of greater and greater freedom, where we define ourselves by how we express ourselves sexually and things like that. And so there's this entire understanding of the human self that is there, that comes along with the sexual revolution. And you see many people, many churches grappling with the fallout from that as well. And then the third major worldview that we have to contend with, I think, is the one that I mentioned earlier about consumerism, or about the idea that accumulating wealth, being the self-made individual, going from rags to riches in your life, in your career, that is the dominant story of your life. That's really the purpose of life, is to find success, to be successful, and to move forward and to be financially secure. Those are three of the most prevalent worldviews that affect everything in our Christian world, in our society that we as Christians have to grapple with.
You can find the entire presentation by Trevin Wax at the Gospel Coalition website, and some other great resources as well. Trevin, thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate what you're doing and hope to have you on the program again soon.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
56 past the hour. This is Faith Radio. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.